Many of you know that mothers have a way of communicating with their children. And I am not talking about shouts and screams out the door. No, I am talking about a real communication. Some of us mothers communicate in very direct ways. For example, Timmy, if you don't want to go ice skating, just say so. Others communicate in indirect ways, like, I wonder if you'll perhaps have time to take the dishes out of the dishwasher. Others communicate without words, just a fancy look or a sign will do the trick. I think I'm one of those. My children would say so. In our story, we are given an opportunity to hear how Mary and Jesus communicate at the wedding of Cana. And I want to say that it involves many of these ways of communicating. Let's listen again. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, they don't have any wine. Indirect communication. Jesus replied, woman, what does that have to do with me? Direct communication. My time hasn't come yet. Indirect. What does he mean by that? His mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Direct communication to the servants. Indirect order to Jesus. This series is titled Through the Lenses of Her Story. And I'm inviting you to look at the story through the eyes of Mary. For she is the one that saves the day. In Mary's life, we can find meaningful ways to connect with her, with Jesus, and with those at the banquet. First, we can see Mary as the communicator. Mary has many intersections. She is a mother, she is a daughter, she's a wife. God has chosen her to be a communicator. She is a follower of Jesus. As the communicator, Mary serves a great purpose because God has called her to be a vessel. Through Mary, we can see and know Jesus, the human being, Jesus. Mary is that vessel that God uses to communicate his love for us. Mary said so in Luke 1, 46 through 49 with her song of joy. With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servants. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done the great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary took on the job of communicating God to us. It was through her servant and humility self that we can know God. As I was listening to Rabbi Levine, or she's a professor, she was saying that there's In our hearts, as human beings, we want to describe and we want to understand how the incarnation happened. And she tells whoever she teaches that you cannot explain love. Love is unexplainable, you feel it. And that is exactly what the incarnation is all about. Some of us want to know exactly how it happened, but can you describe the love that you have for others? I think it's in the action, in your relationships, in your communication. That's exactly what Mary did. Friar Gisaldo Mendez says that Mary is a communicator of human relationships, of empathy, sensitivity, and openness to others. Mary interprets the situation of the wine at the wedding with faith, by going out of herself to others. What is your interpretation of the need in your community? As I was sitting there this morning in the chair, I thought, what would be Mary's interpretation of the need of Crossroads? What would be the wine that has run out for this congregation? Where we need Jesus to intervene. Mary is a sensitive communicator. She's sensitive to the feelings of those taking part in the feast. She feels their hearts troubled by the lack of wine, which was part of this sacred ritual. At Cana, Mary is the communicator who values the group, who knows how to live in community, who participates in the rituals and joins the guests in the joy of their lives. Her communication with Jesus and the guests at the feast is one of loving, active, firm, and creative authority. The first steps, she spoke, questioned, listened, and acted to find a solution. Who are the Marys of Crossroads? Who are those who see the need and step out in faith? And she's also a mother. And when I met with Pastor Scott this week, and I thought, I'm going to go with this frame of thinking and understanding. Mary is a mother who looks into the depths of her son's eyes and communicates with him this maternal trust. Mary calls on her son to help. She knows that this son is able to fill all the jars with just one word and transform them into one. This Mary, who in previous chapters, as we heard last week from Pastor Scott, scolded Jesus for not staying with the group and getting lost, is now letting us into a different kind of relationship, a more mature relationship, and still a mother and son relationship. I often wonder how many more conversations did Mary and Jesus have. What did they talk about? What was their morning, their breakfast, morning conversation, or their late evening conversations? The Gospels are recorded from the voices of men. And maybe that's where we miss a little bit of those conversations. I wanted us to see the story through the lenses of motherhood. even though not all women here are mothers, each one of us has a mother. Each one of us has had that relationship, maybe close, maybe not so. But we understand. When we see this interaction at the wedding of Cana, we see how the son has the influence on his mother. The son empowers Mary. The son allows for these things to happen and gives the mother authority. The mother knows that her son is there to support her, even when she knows deep in her heart that this son is given to her, not to hold, but to raise and then given in ransom to save the whole humanity. The words of Simeon ring true. This boy is a sign to be the cause of a falling and rising of many in Israel. It is to be a sign that generates opposition. What mother or father would want to know such information? Mary was a special person. She was made strong. God knew that she was able to handle the most terrible fate of her son. Lastly, Mary is the disciple of Jesus. Mary is the disciple that expresses in simple terms her faith for who Jesus is. She reveals this faith through a couple of scriptures. One in Luke 1:38, where she says, "I am the Lord's servant, let it be with me just as you have said." And here at the wedding of Cana, "Do whatever he tells you." She puts her whole trust in Jesus. Notice the similarity between these expressions of faith. Both evidence a total trust in God. Both shows faith conceived in Mary's heart as a true disciple. St. Augustine suggested that her discipleship surpasses even her divine motherhood. Total trust in God. It's not easy for us, largely because we live in a future-oriented world. We are always thinking about the future. We peer into the future. Much of our traditions are about the future. What are we going to do? What are our plans from month to month? For the summer, people are planning their summer and their fall already. Some of us even seem to live in the future, but Mary's words expresses the present moment, the immediacy of her faith is open to any future. "Let it be done according to your word." This is unconditional trust. This is the beginning of costly discipleship. Just as Mary gave us this invitation to become disciples of Jesus Christ, to act in the immediacy of the needs of our community, to become Mary's, I want to invite you as well to recognize who Jesus is and put him first, trust him first, before you do your future plans. Mary, as a communicator, allows us to find our own voice, to become a vessel of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can be a vessel for God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That we can do extraordinary things in this present moment. That we don't have to be 30 or 40 or 50. That at 17 and 18, 15, at 5, we can become vessels of the Lord. Mary, as the communicator, calls us to find that voice. Mary, as the mother, calls us to see the human side of Jesus and her human side too. Mary, as a disciple, teaches us that we must listen to Jesus and be faithful to him. I want to close with a little bit of myself, because I come from a family of Marys too. My mother is a Mary. She came from Mexico when I was 11 years old, and I stayed behind. She came with my brother. I stayed behind 1 year. And that is, if you see it, if you hear it like that, it's very hard to think that an 11-year-old would stay behind. But that was the most transforming event of my life, because it was then when I was able to know God. Nobody had taught me to pray. We went to church every once in a while when we were at my aunt's house. But I remember clearly sleeping in a room at a friend's house. That's where I stayed for a whole year. And I remember clearly praying to God, talking to God. Nobody had taught me how to talk to God. But my mother would call me and she would pray with me over the phone. She was a Mary to me. Even though she came and I stayed, a year later I was able to come with her. And we started visiting the United Methodist Church. And we fell in love with the people of the United Methodist Church. Warm people, loving people, people that welcome everyone. And so I feel that it was through that experience, that harsh experience, that I was able to know Christ. And so I wanted you to know that God works in very strange ways, very hard ways, very difficult ways. And he does work, and he is real in the struggles. And so thank you so much for this morning, for allowing me to come and share a little bit of what God gives us to share with you. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Amen. To God be glory and honor.